time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Joining us today. Thanks a lot of you. Thanks for joining us yesterday. I got my hat back on. I told you last week I should have got a haircut. Man, I was looking at my scraggly old self yesterday. I said, daggone, I wish I had that thing buzzed down. But, you know, I heard, go get a haircut. And I did go get a haircut. And then the next day they closed down the barbershop. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I want to deep dive into some of that stuff today. And just kind of as a kickoff from where we are here today. I was saying just a little bit before I went in the pre-show, before we really got rolling here today, we're going to have to try to figure out, folks, get a greater understanding to the depth of evil. I don't think we respect evil. I really don't. I don't. Well, actually, I'm not sure we respect and fear God anymore, but we certainly don't respect and fear evil. We don't understand evil. We don't understand the depths of big evil. We hear about big government and big religion. Well, there's big evil too. It's big evil, and I don't know if we really have grasped the seriousness of as I spoke about yesterday, and the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, an eternal struggle. If God is good, all good, pure goodness, God's pure goodness. Your love. What would the depth of that look like? What would it be like? How about this term? Almighty God. Just think about that a minute. Almighty. Not some mighty. Not part mighty. Not occasionally mighty. Almighty God.
Amen, brother.
So if there's an almighty God, how strong must that power be that he's fighting against? If some of these issues can only be controlled by Almighty God. Isaac Newton taught us that for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. I don't think that's true in regards to Almighty God, because if there's an Almighty God, then there's not an Almighty devil. So Almighty God is the peak of all power. All power, he says, has been given unto me. All power, both in heaven and in earth. All power. All power from Almighty God. That's pretty staggering. But I think in our thought processes, we begin to think about the Almighty God. We don't understand the depth of evil. I don't think we really, really, truly understand the depth of evil. And part of that's happened because we have so caricaturized, boy, that's a mouthful, caricaturized the devil. You know, pitchfork, horns, tail, red. We've made him a mythological figure, a made-up image of a pretty powerful, dark, demonic being, angel, actual angel, fallen angel. Don't ever forget he was the top dog. Wasn't he one of the top guys? So it'd be like as we look around. Oh, I don't want to go there. No, Lord, I don't want to go there. Okay, I will. All the CEOs that are quitting. Why are all the CEOs quitting? I didn't get that prepared today. Maybe I need to get that up and show you that guys who are CEOs of multi-million, billion-dollar companies are resigning over something. Because a CEO has a lot of power. The government CEO has a lot of power. Donald Trump has the power of the United States military, but not really. Not really, because he doesn't really have it. It's been granted to him. The authority has been given to him, not the power. Those aren't the same thing. And we get in trouble when we look and people begin to operate all power without all authority. That's why we're in the mess we're in right now. We're seeing an American government that has become all powerful without the authority. You know, like here in Ohio, you know, they're trying to close us down again, you know, tell you you can't get a haircut. You can go to Walmart. Or as my buddy Norm said the other day, you can go to Kroger's and get some potato chips, but you can't go to church. Who made that decision? Well, almighty government without the approval of, they don't have the authority to do that, folks. They may have the power to do it. They don't have the authority. Hang with me a second. So if we really were to go back and we were to read Genesis, was it 4 yesterday, like we did yesterday? Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. That this battle was so strong and so powerful that it required the perfect sacrifice, the death of God's own son. That darkness was so powerful. For this purpose, 1 John 3:8, was the Son of Man manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Darkness is so strong that it took the Son of God to overcome it. It took the heir apparent, the Prince of Peace, to overcome the Prince of Darkness. Now, do we respect that darkness today? Do we hear? How many times do you go around and have conversations with people about the workings of the dark side, the workings of the devil? To pull back here for a minute and look at what's going on in America and the world and see that it's really not just about a coronavirus, but it's about a world dominance. Remember this, Satan shows his power through death. God exercises his power through life. What's attacking America right now, the power of life or the power of death? And what has been the response of the church to this? See, the church has taken the approach that they're going to keep the church closed. You ready for this? Because they have to keep the church closed, because if they don't, more people might die. Hang on. I thought we were already dead. Christians, I thought, were already dead. Yet so much of Christianity is focused toward keeping people alive. Now, hey, I'm doing everything I can to keep people alive. Don't get me wrong, right? But we have to understand that in this battle, in this war that we're in, we are in a battle over deep, deep, dark blackness. We have, and I don't think we get it. I really don't. And that we know that from the very beginning, the seed of the serpent gets the seed of the woman. It has been after the seed. And we know that vaccines, I'm going to get Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on here with me, by the way. We know that vaccines have a tendency to be able to alter DNA. Yeah, you heard me say that. Again, to alter DNA. And what if the mark of the beast that we're all so concerned about has to do with something that will alter your DNA? So what are you talking about? I don't know. What am I talking about? What if there's some? I'm going to show you a video here in a second. It's going to curl your toes. What if this altering of the DNA is so real? Remember, the devil's after the seed. Don't ever forget that. He knows, the devil knows he can't beat Christ, but he sure can keep Christ from being victorious. What if the mark of the beast is altered DNA? Because why? It says if you take that mark of the beast, you take that mark, you're not redeemable. Why are you not redeemable anymore? Because you're no longer a human being created in the image of God in the way that he intended. Anybody think I'm crazy out there? See, I think this thing is deeper than we understand. And we're all upset, including me, we're all upset because we can't travel. We can't go places. But you can go to Walmart. In fact, I couldn't believe the order that just came down from our governor, Mike DeWine, up until this weekend, they had a suggestion how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to behave and where we can go and shelter in place and all that. And then yesterday had a press conference and he said, okay, it's no longer a suggestion. Now it's an order. But then they give you about 50 or 60 things that excluded from it. I mean, you can go here and 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 you can go here, but you can't go anywhere. I mean, that's really what it says. So as I'm watching all this play out before me, by the way, led by an unbelievable amount of disinformation. You don't know where you can pick up something to get the true story. Satan is the author of lies. He's the father of lies. He's the author of deception. There is so much deception. It's hard for us to get a good focus on what's going on, isn't it? So I wanted just a second, because I want to throw that out to you just today to get your mind thinking. Let's think for a minute. Just begin to ponder. If you were the devil, the depth of the darkness, the depth of the dark power that you had in your hands, how would you be using it? And I don't even think we can even conceive what that might look like. Go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Coach, we ought to stop calling these people Christians, because you're right. They are not dead, as me and you would see through Scripture. They are totally blind. So we need to start calling them believers, because the demons also believe and tremble. So I think believers would be a better explanation for their blindness.
Alan, I would argue with you on that a bit, because I think I'm a believer. I think they're not believers. I think I'm a believer. I don't know.
You're sold out, Coach. You're sold out. We know you're a true Christian, but the folks in the church, you know, they're thinking they're Christians, but Coach, you see the fruit of what they're doing. They're just on dead. Facebook, my Lord and my God, they're not dead. They're totally blinded.
They're wannabes. They want to be Christians. There's some of them truly want to be Christians. They've never had a satanic social club leader tell them enough information to become a Christian, and they're too lazy to go to the Bible and get the information themselves.
Larry, I don't think you know where to get it, to be honest with you.
Can I have some of your oil? Can I have some of your oil? Isn't that what they're going to say? They think they're ready, and they're just not.
They're all turned down.
That's right.
Hey, Coach, I posted a video in your link, because my battle right now is talking with people on why churches are closing and why I don't believe that they should. And in that link is a clip from the movie Chosen, and it's where Jesus is about to encounter the person with the diseased leper. And they did such a great illustration. It's the epitome of the church, and it shows this leper coming towards Jesus and his new disciples, and the disciples are pulling out their knives and crying, "Leper, leper, get away, get away." And then Jesus walks right up to the leper. But that's the true picture of the church today. We are screaming at this thing, but yet we fail to lay hands on the sick.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and play that. It's up. Jared's got it up on the screen. Go ahead and play that real quick. It's about 4 minutes. Jared, maybe you can time in half of it.
It's powerful, Coach, every part of it.
We'll spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
It's a leper. Stay back. Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air. Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi, you cannot disease you.
Jared, slow it down. I'm sorry, slow it down. It's just hard to understand.
Please. Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
Cleansed.
Casey, thank you. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor.
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go. Show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you, just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Hey, it's Dallas.
Here's my reaction to that. And see, there are people all around us, folks, even in the church, who have spiritual leprosy. They have a sin disease and they don't know it. And no matter how much we go out and heal them or protect them from the coronavirus, the reality of it is whether they live or whether they die, their eternal life has not been affected by their physical healing, right? It's a deeper issue. Now, I know the point of Dale's video is that we shouldn't be running from these things. We should be willing to sacrifice, to lay down our lives. I get that. That's not the message of the church. It's not the message of the church because everything about the church has become self-focused. And I want to bring us back to the point that I tried to make yesterday, that it's not about us. It's about this eternal struggle and battle that's going on around us. That's what it's about. From the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, that eternal struggle to Jesus' death on the cross, burial, resurrection, it is finished. What is? He said, now go. It's all done. Go. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. He said, now go ye, therefore. Go that every human being born will die. Everyone will die. May not be the coronavirus. Might be somebody texting and coming across the midline. Might be falling asleep and running into a tree. Maybe a heart attack walking up the steps. Every person is going to die. And the cure that Jesus brought was not to save this wretched physical body, but to save our eternal inner man. That's the message. And it's still the message that the church hasn't picked up. We are all cowering because we are worried about us in this natural realm. And wouldn't it be amazing if the church, I'm talking about me now, if we got the urgency to deliver people from their sinful condition, what if we was concerned about that as we were the coronavirus? Well, we're not, are we? We're not, because we've been, as I tried to explain, we're in a natural world influenced by things we can see, taste, feel, touch. Our natural man, our natural senses. So therefore, our struggle here on earth is to remain alive physically. When that's not the story. That's not the story. That's a powerful video. We shouldn't be running. We shouldn't be cowering. And
Dave?
Yep.
Well, when I was watching that, I just thought how great it would be to hug Jesus and have Jesus hug you or hug me or whatever, you know.
A man hug.
I mean, the healing is that too, you know. But that,
a chest bump.
It's just like, you know, to just be that close and just have his arms around you, and you just showing his appreciation, you know, it's just amazing.
Well, doesn't the Bible say that he goes and says, well done, my good and faithful servant? It's like, again, I like to put everything in football analogies. And, you know, it's Jesus coming and hugging. I'm thinking about the reaction you see on a football field after somebody makes a great play. Somebody scores a touchdown or makes an interception. The guys run around there, chest bumping each other, hugging each other. What if we're going to get that opportunity to do that with the Lord? Or what if when he sees us make a great play, he's chest bumping us? And we don't understand that. We don't understand because we've been programmed to think it's all about us. You go out and do something that glorifies the Lord, and boom, you come running off the field and he chest bumps you. That's the way I say it. We have so softened the image of Jesus. We've so softened his image. I think he was a man's man. I think he was a man's man. Somebody come on in here. I got something I got to show you today. I'll get there. Hey, do I want to say that, Lord?
Hey, Coach. No, it's right. Yeah. It's what David Arthur always says. We should not be afraid to show affection towards our fellow men. It just doesn't need to go any farther than that.
Yeah. Hey, Vinny, I don't want Jesus to hug me. I want him to chest bump me. That's what I want him to do.
Amen, him brother.
Across the room, I run across the room and bam, we chest bump it. That's what I want to do. Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I don't want to sit on his lap, okay? I don't want to sit on his lap and cry. I don't want to do that.
Coach?
Yeah.
If perfect love casts out fear, where's all the love they talk about?
Hmm.
And I'm going to bring this down to me, okay?
Yeah.
Am I willing to walk in love and not be fearful? That's the question. We can talk about the church not doing their job, but it comes down to me. It comes down to us. Are we doing our job? Are we doing what's right too? So,
Randy, you popped in my brain yesterday because we were using the skid steer a little bit up at Sky High. One of the guys says, "Where'd you get this?" Because I don't know what skid steer, it costs something. I did that. They said, "Where'd you get this?" I said, "A buddy of mine lent it to me." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I got a buddy out in Oklahoma. He lent it to me. He says it belongs to the kingdom." This guy looked at me, Randy, like he had never heard such a thing in his life. Now, Randy, that ought to be commonplace, shouldn't it? Shouldn't that be commonplace amongst Christians? Oh, here, yeah. I said, I tried to send it back to him. He said, "No, go ahead and keep it, Coach. It's just going to sit here in my yard. Go ahead and keep it and use it. It belongs to the kingdom." What if we had that mindset about everything that we do? What if we did?
That would be awesome, Coach.
And I wrote this. Listen, I went this week. I know some guys don't like recognized. Steve Deck. I don't know if you guys know Steve Deck or not. Steve Deck had an old, well, they call him Dually. Ford 350 Dually, 2002 Ford 350 Dually. He said, "Come, hey, Coach, if you can get out here, I'll give it to you. You can have it. You can use it there on that. You can use it there at Sky High." And I jumped. Called my old buddy Norm. Well, because Steve said, "I want to get it to you before they close everything down." So Steve grabbed a buddy John, and I called my old buddy Norm. Says, "Okay, Norm, let's go to Bedford, PA. I got to pick up a truck." I said, "What? Yeah, come on, Norm. You know Norm. He's always ready to moment's notice." Jumped in, drove 3.5 hours to Bedford, PA, and Steve and John drove 3.5 hours to Bedford, PA, and gave me a truck. I said, "Steve, why'd you do this?" He said, "Oh, Coach, this would be so much more valuable for you than it would be for me. So I could sell it and get some money out of the coach. You need it." Man, I think, where does that come from? And where does that come from? And why aren't we more like that? All of us, why aren't we more? It humbles me, Randy. It humbles me, Steve. And you know what a witness it is? You know what a witness it was to my family when I pull up in that truck yesterday and they said, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "Steve Deck gave it to him." I said, "What?" Because Christians don't act like that, do we? We don't act like that. We don't act like that. It humbles me. So again, it comes back trying to tie this whole thing together about Are we all in for the Lord? Are we all in? Are we? What do we? What does it look like? And do we really believe that we're at war? Do we really believe that we are at the end times? Do we really believe? Do we really think this thing's winding down? Do we really understand that the Bible says that if we are winding down, that Satan knows his time is short, and he's going to amp up his game? Do we understand the amping up of his game? Do we understand that the devil? They say he's a defeated foe. They say he thinks he's a defeated foe, but it's like this. He wants to trash the house. You ever seen one guy that does that? A guy gets a divorce or man, woman split up and the woman gets mad. She says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll leave, but I'm leaving this place a mess. And they go and they break windows and they break furniture and they tear up the carpet and they throw paint everywhere. They said, you can have it, but it ain't going to be fixable when I get done. That's what the devil's trying to do.
Amen, Coach.
It ain't going to be fixable when the devil's done with it. And we don't understand the depth of what's going on, folks. So I got to show you this video. I was thinking of Mark Trump. I think of Mark Trump a lot because Mark's mind goes places. That's not the one I want, Jared. I'm sorry. Put the one up. It says Anthony Patch on it. I don't know if you guys know who Anthony Patch is, but I greatly admire Anthony Patch and his understanding of the scientific world. And hey, click on that, Jared, and then just go to, by the way, I want to thank our friends at Before It's News, Michael, Before It's News, for getting, if you go to Before It's News right now, this is our show streaming on the website. And right now there's 1,200 people online at Before It's News, and there's over a billion, that's a B, billion visits to, and Michael, he streams us. Right now he's streaming us there. So Michael Roach, I thank you for doing that, Mike, and don't take that lightly. And this clip comes from Before It's News, and some of us will get this and some of us will don't. Remember, it's about the seed. It's about the seed and this vaccine, and why are they getting us to take vaccines, and what the heck's going on with all that? What's really going on? Well, this is a video that was done by Anthony Patch back in 2014, I think it was. 2014, all right? Jared, go to the 37-minute mark, and then let's try to – is that it? 37 minutes. That's not the right – which one are you on, buddy? Which one are you on? Going up. No, okay, well, that's it. But I don't see Anthony Patch here, do you? Well, what the heck's going on? No, that's not the one I want. Jared, go back to, scroll down there. Holy Toledo. Coach, where is that thing? No, it's not. What's going on? I got to show you this. I got to show you. It's the triple. How could I miss that and not send you the right one? Yes. Yeah. It's one crying baby on the front of it, Jared. There he is. There's Anthony Patch. Okay. Now, Jared, I don't know if we can time and a half this or not. I don't want to waste a lot of time. Folks, this is unbelievable. Now, this is 2014. Remember, it's about the seed, okay? It's about the seed. Just started at the 37-minute mark, Jared. It'll make sense. Trust me. 37-minute mark. Again, I think evil's deeper than we understand it to be. This is about 7 minutes. We're speeding it up a little. Go ahead.
In Fort Meade, Maryland, to handle the overflow from the Utah data center, and it is projected to be 2/3 the size of the data center in Utah at a cost to the taxpayers of approximately $1 billion. We are paying for our own enslavement and cyber imprisonment.
But this is one time. Forget the conspiracy. Listen to our government agencies. These guys are telling the truth. You know, there's no conspiracy here, folks. Just right. Get your damn vaccine. Right. Just right. Get your damn vaccine. Right. Just right. Get your damn vaccine. Right.
So it sounds far-fetched to the average person who hasn't heard this before, but this is nothing new. But let's go beyond the rabies. Let's talk about people getting a flu shot or getting a avian flu inoculation. There is another very insidious disease, if you will, which is really a man-made disease. It's a biological construct called MERS coronavirus out of the Middle East. It's a Middle East respiratory syndrome. It's made its way into Europe to a certain extent, and eventually, because of, you know, air travel, it will reach around the world. It's another example of where inoculations or vaccines are being derived, or they're trying to derive for. That, again, I always like to go all the way to the end. What's the purpose? What's the goal? If you have a man-made or engineered virus, why was it created? Is it simply just to kill people? Well, that's one part of it, but if you go further and you go deeper than that, it is to get people to demand a vaccine, a shot, if you will, or a pill. Why would, if you're in a position of control, of power, of ultimate power, why would you want people to demand a vaccine? Well, it's because something's in the vaccine that you want people to then have as a part of their body. Well, what is in the vaccine that you want everybody to have inside their body? It is a DNA manipulator or modifier. I mentioned earlier third strand DNA. There is already, and you can find this on the internet, in existence, a third strand of DNA constructed of silicon. Again, we go back to the silicon chip in computers. The third strand is made of silicon and is also coated in gold. If you talk about nanotechnology and nano layers, this is extremely thin coating of gold down to a billionth of a millimeter of gold that is coating the silicon from which you are building a third strand of DNA. The purpose of the gold is to increase the surface area around the strand so that more information can be digitally imparted or programmed. You're essentially, what you're doing is you're creating a third strand of DNA.
You stop are that, Jared.
Transferring that.
Hey, folks, I want you to listen to this. Jared, you can slow this down here a second. He's talking about injecting into people a false third strand of DNA. 2014, creating a new strand of DNA through vaccinations, what they put in vaccinations. Think about Mark of the Beast, all right? Go ahead, Jared.
Or imparting it into a person's body through a vaccine that that person's demanding because they're afraid of contracting MERS coronavirus or avian flu or whatever it may be. And so the government, if you will, or the powers that be sit back and they kind of chuckle when they say, well, we couldn't have forced people to take this vaccine or to take this hidden third strand of DNA, they would rebel against it. But if we create the problem and present the solution, people will demand the solution. Thus, we achieve our ultimate goal of having this DNA in every person changed. Well, let's go deeper. What's the goal? What's the purpose? Yeah, you go around and change everybody's DNA. What do they become? They become a hybrid. The insidious part of this is that once a person is injected, almost immediately their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately they lose all awareness of the fact that they've lost their independence, their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own, and to affect them on a moral level. Their moral independence, their beliefs, religious, moral, ethical, legal, all of those go away. If you remove the independent thought and that awareness that you've lost your independence is gone, what then do the powers that be do with these new forms of humans, hybrids? They can control them. They can turn them into a surf class. Not S-U-R-F, not surfers, but S-E-R-F, a class of slaves to serve the elite, to serve the Ray Kurzweils of the world who want to achieve immortality, but they need to have labor to manufacture, develop all of the technologies. And they have enough technologies now. The technology, the scientific world, if you will, has reached the level where they don't care about hiding it anymore. Their agenda is so far advanced, both politically, philosophically, their sense of morals, and technologically, that no longer are they worried about you and me as the surf class and the coming surf class. They're not worried about what we think. They're not worried about us rebelling. And in fact, we won't rebel, partly because right now we've been so dumbed down through a variety of mechanisms. But once people demand the virus and they truly are dumbed down to where they've lost that awareness that something's happened to me, now they can do what they want with us. They are achieving what I call the hive mentality, like a beehive. Worker bees, soldier bees, serving the queen. The queen, in my estimation, is this elite class that's in power, and it's not the politicians. Forget the politicians. This has nothing to do with Republicans, Democrats, Tea Party, libertarians. It has nothing to do with political structure or classes. It has to do with the small group that is in control and has been in control since ancient times.
All right. Hang on. Jared, I got to do this real quick. I got to change hats. I got to put my tinfoil hat on. Because that's pretty tinfoily, isn't it? But if the battle is between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and if they can inject into you a substance that will alter your DNA, or as Anthony Patch just said, actually create a transhuman, a hybrid being, what if the vaccination, what if we cry for that vaccination? Please, Lord, save us from this virus. Please give us a vaccine and people will line up to get it. That gives new meaning to the mark of the beast. However, in order to understand that and believe it, you got to believe in the depth power of darkness. Do we really? What do you think there, Dr. Trump? What do you think, Dr. Trump?
Hey, Coach, before he goes in, there's this stupid comic that Marvel just put out called The New Warriors, and one of the characters is affected by, you ready for the three words? Experimental internet gas. What is that supposed to be? Okay.
Hey, Benny, I'm still stuck on vaccines. Anybody, what do you think, Mark? Anybody?
Well, I mean, I think somebody pitched in early on. If we continue this thought, you got the Medical Patriot Act or Healthcare Patriot Act. I've said for a long time with technology on the cyber side and technology, they're doing it through technology in healthcare technology specifically. And all of this fits a Chinese emperor who wrote this path exactly step by step in 2005. And the guise is China don't have room for their people. And he posed it to them, face it, we don't have room here, and America does. The only way Chinese people can survive is if the USA is cleared. We want their infrastructure, we want their buildings and all that, we just want the people gone. This was started back then. Now, on the medical side, Coach, it's going to play out with this vaccination, and I think you got it exactly right. I mean, people's been saying it, but more people are saying it now that, yeah.
Folks, what if they tell us, what if a year from now they come up with a vaccine and they say, listen, this is required for every American. You have to have your vaccination. If you don't take this vaccination, which, by the way, has something inside of it that alters your DNA, what are you going to do? Well, they say you can't work without it. You can't come into the store without it. You, without proof that you've been vaccinated, you can't You can't drive. You can't go anywhere unless you take this vaccination. Does anybody see this out of the realm of possibility? The seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. It's always been about the seed. And the Lord said, what? If you take that mark, you're not even human anymore. Wow.
And I think the purpose, Coach, just real quick, I think where it's going, and this is a speculation, is I think this change will enable programming. It will enable remote access, monitoring, as well as bidirectional. So they'll be able to control dopamine, cortisol, dopamine for pleasure, cortisol for stress, and so on. It'll all be done wirelessly.
Anthony Patch said that back in 2014 that we would lose our ability to think independently. That's what he said through this DNA strand.
Yep.
That your thoughts wouldn't even be your thoughts. We would lose the ability to think our own thoughts.
Hive mind, right?
A hive mind. That's what he said. A hive mind. Yeah. Somebody else.
How you doing, Coach? This is Nick from I'm New York. I'm at the conference here in a while back. And it amazes me how quickly everyone just got into lockstep, and things changed in the church. The main thing, like you've been saying, the church not meeting, and what are we afraid of? We have the Holy Spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus on ourselves and on our families. What are we afraid of?
Well, because Nick, again, the word says that we are to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And what do we see happening right now? We see something crazy going on, bigger than what we understand. It maybe bigger than anything that's ever hit the world. We don't know, right? And what are they telling us to do? Are they telling us to assemble? Are they telling us to go get in your church and pray? Go get in there. Churches all across America, let's join hands. Let's pray against it. Is that the message? Is that the message we're getting? Or are we getting the message? No. Listen, you stay in your house, but you can congregate at Walmart. You can congregate at Costco. You can congregate at wherever, but you cannot, you churches, you cannot get together. See, I have a diabolical detector sometimes, and I think it's diabolical in my mind that they wouldn't want us to get together and strategize about what we would do. How can we strategize when we're just having drive-through churches? I saw that, by the way, drive-through churches. Because, see, we think the idea of going to church is some type of duty that we owe to the Lord. So, therefore, we have to do our drive-by, just like McDonald's, our drive-by church and get our hamburger, get our daily milk from the pastor. And we think that then we're sanctified. See, we don't understand this, the bigger the depth of darkness. That's what I'm asking you. Do we understand the depth of darkness?
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Hey, question. How would any of the earlier vaccines that we would have gotten, say, when we were kids back 40, 50 years ago, like polio, would they have had anything to do with making us somehow a little less human than we were than the generations before that?
Yeah, I don't know. What is the technology? Or how about this one? Todd Barnes said this to me. Todd Barnes said this to me about whether or not he was going to take a bone marrow transplant. He had leukemia, right? Said, Coach, blood cells are created in that bone marrow. To Coach, if I take somebody else's bone marrow and put it in me, am I producing my cells or their cells? Am I producing my DNA or their DNA? Whoa! I don't know, man. Hey, folks, I don't know. I don't know, Gary. I don't know. Now, I do think this. I would hope. I could be wrong. I'm not even going to say it because I don't know. Was the smallpox
guy
Mark of the Beast? I don't know. Yeah, Mark.
There's stories, and you'll have to research these for authenticity, of people having memories from transplants. So the DNA that gets infused in your body, your brain picks it up, and there's memories. So one of the things that I believe is when we're cursed, when God's curse occurred, it happened to our blood, and it's in our DNA. Mm-hmm. And then if you believe, like the Bible says, that there's generational curses, sins of the father, those get written in. So now if you take on that DNA, are you actually picking up people's talents and picking up people's sins?
Mark, how about this? This just came to me as you were speaking. Somebody out there smarter than me will know this. Where does it talk about you shall pick up serpents and scorpions? Where is that scripture? Because what? Hey, hang on here. Hang on. What is the symbol of medicine? Isn't it a snake wrapped around, right?
It's a caduceus, Coach. Right. That's correct. That's correct.
Right. And it's snake. And what does the Bible say? Where's that scripture? Somebody help me. You shall handle scorpions and snakes. And
I would believe, you know, I would believe,
deadly Luke, thing. Deadly
Luke
thing.
Luke 10:19.
Where is it?
Luke 10:19.
Luke 10:19, Jared. Ooh, I'm goosebumping. Luke 10:19. Pull that up, Jared. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, woo, thank you, Lord. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. What if that's the medical system? What if it's pharmacology and what's being? He said, I give you power now to tread on those scorpions. Woo, I'm goosebumps. And over all and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It says somewhere you shall drink poison, right? Drink poison. Could drink in poison.
Mark 16. Church.
Yeah.
Mark 16. 18. It's Satanism. All that medicine, it's not medicine. It's here to keep you on the brink of death while they take your money.
They shall take up serpents. Wow. And I always thought, why would anybody do that? Why would anybody take up a serpent? And if they drink any deadly thing.
But, Coach, see, that scripture right there ties with that video showing Jesus is approaching. He's got his disciples, and the leper comes, and they're pulling out their knives. Leper, don't breathe. Don't touch a coronavirus. Don't touch it. Don't breathe.
Mm.
But what would Jesus do? See, we want to say what would Jesus do, but we don't want to do what Jesus would do.
Well, Dale, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Again, I've used this before. Folks, see the semicolon? What if this semicolon wasn't there and it said this? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Semicolon. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpent. In other words, is the true born again believer cleansed of all that stuff? All those poisons that might have been injected in all the vaccinations, all that stuff. The new born again believer through a blood transfusion, the blood of Christ transmits us from all that. And then we have to decide whether or not we're going to drink that deadly potion that they give to us when you're 67 years old.
Coach, this is why I typed into the chat. Mark got this, but I don't think anybody else got this. When you're not godly, you have RAM, which is random access memory, which means anyone can write to it. When you have God, you have read-only memory.
Mm. Coach, you know up there in Congress, that big painting that we discussed on here before, that God Mercury, he's holding a caduce in one hand and the economy in the other. It's right there, brother.
Didn't anybody besides me think, what? It's odd. Take up serpents. Why would I take up a serpent? Why would anybody in their right mind take up a serpent? And then we see the medical sign is a serpent. Was he talking about pharmacology? Was he explaining to them pharmacology, which was something they couldn't understand? Hey, Jared, I've had a couple requests to put that in the link, that Anthony Patch thing in the link, if you'll do that. It was Jesus explaining to us pharmacology. They didn't have drugs back then. How could he explain that to somebody? It says you won't drink anything. In other words, you're going to drink his medicine, right? You're going to take his medicine. And he says it's not going to harm you. He's not talking about our physical body. He's not talking about your physical body. He's talking about our spirit, man.
Coach?
Yes?
To understand this, you have to go back to Exodus and you have to see what happened. Okay, God sent serpents to bite them because they were rebelling, they were disobedient. Okay, he put the serpent up on the pole and you had to go stand before it and look upon it to get free of this thing. Here's that was in the natural. Here's the spiritual. Jesus, what he compares himself to the serpent in the wilderness. He says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me. You look on Christ or you look on the serpent.
Not on that snake.
And let me finish.
Not only that, listen, brother, the very thing that was biting them in the wilderness because of their disobedience, that's what Moses put on that staff. Imagine that they had to look at that thing. But yet Paul, being obedient, is bit by a serpent in a fire. And what does he do? He shakes it off, brother.
Hey, coach, so let me finish. Here's what we're seeing today. We're seeing the pharmakia raised up as God, and we're seeing Jesus on the other pole. Which pole, which one are we going to look at, coach, and accept and identify with? That is the question, coach.
Wow. Because think about it. What was the medicine they took back in those days? They drank stuff, didn't they? They drank stuff. Whether it be wine, whiskey or wine, when they got sick, they drank stuff. They didn't inject one another. And Jesus said, hey, listen, you can drink it. You can drink that stuff and it's not going to hurt you.
Coach, the hyssop was poppies. It was cocaine. And Jesus, they tried to force him to drink it on the cross and he wouldn't drink it. Take the pharmakia, coach. It's right there.
So our dependence has become on pharmakia, hasn't it? How many people right now, think about this, Christians now across the United States, how many people are actually praying for the destruction of that virus? Or are they praying they don't get it? Those are two.
Coach, that goes back to what Randy was just talking about. I'm telling you, if you get the mindset and the time frame when the Israelites were disobedient and being bit by serpents and dying, think about it. Imagine that very thing. And then you're going to put that thing on this wooden stick and you're going to hold it up and tell people to look at it. They were angry. They were mad. See, when you hold up the gospel to the people because of the sin issue, which you began with, brother, they are getting mad at who? They're getting mad at me for keeping my church open. They're getting mad at you for telling them the truth.
Coach, the serpent is here today. What is he doing? He's putting out his system and saying, come, look upon me, and I will give you everything. And we're partaking of it, Coach.
Jared, I'm about out of time. Jared, go to, what does it say? Pull it up here real quick. Oh, man, I wish I had time to show it. It just says rumors abound on this pastor. I don't know anything about this pastor. I saw this thing earlier this week. It witnessed with me. And now after what we just played with Anthony Patchett, our destruction here. Listen, this pastor, I don't know if I can. It's 9 minutes long. I don't have time to play it. Okay. But this pastor says, you hear me? You better hear me. This pastor says that the vaccine will have the deadly virus in it. Not the virus, but what? It's the vaccine. This pastor, pulled up there, Jared, if you can, says it is the vaccine that will be the deadly. It will not be the virus. It will be the cure. Jared, take it at about the halfway mark, just right, randomly put it, and let's just start right there and see what he says.
Little there, then all of a sudden, everything's got to shut down, right? Because of this 600 arrest, okay, of very corrupt people. So after the arrest, the process was increased to speed to the United States. Trump was aware of this plan of 1 through 10, and I'll read you plan 1 through 10. The plan by these people who set forth the virus was hospitals to get overwhelmed in a matter of 2 weeks. This is what the information he received. People will panic and make store runs. Sporadic looting will incur. Stock markets will plummet and tank. People, non-patriots will not listen to the president, but rather politicians saying that it is the president's fault will be pushed through the media. This will cause number three to increase, which is the sporadic looting. And also number one to increase, which means they will continue testing people and the numbers of people with the virus will increase. Not increase, but they will be said that you have the virus. It says in 8, first responders will be overwhelmed. Death rate will climb, not a lot, but enough to repeat numbers 2 and 3 and 1. So this is their plan that President Trump got a hold of through a military secret service officer. Another round test, it says another round test are conducted, and then this process will continue to increase until there's panic throughout the whole world. So their whole thing is the panic, and they wanted Donald Trump to test everybody, and they were going to bring FEMA in and test everybody, right? So, and by them testing, they would say, oh, all these people have it, right? And that would cause more panic. Donald Trump said, no, we're not going to have testing. If you feel you need testing, you can go here or there, because he said he wanted it to be monitored because he knew what they were trying to do. And the people working for FEMA, which came into action under Obama and Hillary, would have said, oh, enormous of people now have the virus, and so therefore we have to bring in the vaccine. Mm. And this would have caused death. So Trump, in his smart, because he's not in this alone. Remember, there's 200 people that are behind him. Yeah. Said, no, we will not get people tested. You can get tested as you, because he knows the symptoms is not the disease. Okay.
Oh my
the God. Vaccine is the disease.
Mark, oh my God, I wish I had another hour. Mark, the symptom is not the...
Amen.
Is it 5G? Is it 5G that's making us sick and they're telling us it's a virus?
I think the virus has a component which enables connection. Whether it's modifying your DNA, collecting your signature, the vaccination is the most nefarious piece of this.
Okay,
and
so
it's a willing thing. You have to choose.
Amen, man.
Get a vaccine.
Jared, put this in the link because I don't have time to share the rest of it. Put it in the link here so people can watch this. Folks, what if 5G is causing the sickness? And the vaccine is the real virus.
Hey, Coach.
My. Yes.
Hey, Rodney, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown said, if you don't get the vaccine, you ain't flying nowhere, you ain't traveling anywhere. So that's what they're pushing.
Boy, that'd
Amen.
Be, that'd be the mark.
Amen.
That would be the mark of the beast. Okay, now, folks, listen. Obviously, I didn't talk like this on the show yesterday on Sunday. I hope you understand why. Tried yesterday just to give people a soft opening to what. Open the window so we can give them some more information. So if you're one of those people who are watching today and you think this guy has lost his mind, I just say, just bear with us. Just bear with us, folks. They shall take up serpents and they shall drink any, and it shall not, they shall drink deadly and it shall not harm them. What could that possibly have meant? 2,000 years ago. What could that possibly have meant? And again, do we understand the depth of evil, how deep and dark evil is? And if we don't respect the depth and darkness of evil, then we won't appreciate the power of Christ. When he said, all power is given unto me, he understood what that power was he was fighting against. He understood. He said, I got all power now. And at the cross, he said, it's finished. It's finished what? The work of the enemy has been destroyed. Been destroyed. Go ye, therefore, all the world. Wow, what a time to be alive. Robert, let's take a couple minutes. I got a feeling this is good for us today, Robert. Go ahead and read it real quickly. March 23rd.
All right, This ties in the sense that we got to be active and do something, basically, instead of just camp out on some false confession. It says, Christians who do not sincerely put press into Jesus will eventually become stressed out.
Mm.
That's what Christians are being stressed out in fear today, rather than pressing into Jesus. What is easy believism? Easy believism is a false idea that one is saved and kept by a faith that consists of and requires nothing more than an intellectual acknowledgement of Jesus as Savior, or even a sincere sinner's prayer to receive Jesus as Savior. So you're good to go, hide out in your church, hide out in your closet, and you're good to go. There doesn't need to be any acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord, which means obey, nor any present or subsequent intention of submitting to him as Lord. That is, saving and persevering faith need not be demonstrated by or be accompanied by any present or future works of spirit-empowered righteousness or spirit-born fruit to true repentance or being the salt and the light in the world. The Apostle Paul really didn't mean what he said in verses such as, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, or not the hearers of the word are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Proponents of easy believism also see repentance as only a change of mind and not a change of behavior, either present or subsequent to salvation. Their proponents have created a false category of, quote, saved Christians who merely receive Jesus as Savior, but in life can deny him as Lord. Basically, hide out as pacifist. However, the Apostle Paul said, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Don't hide without him. The truth of the matter is that this same faith that saves, that is, a faith exercised by God's grace and with Holy Spirit power, is also the faith, same faith, which heaven-bound believers will keep to the end.
Amen. So listen.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. So folks, listen. I think the devil's diabolical. I think that the depth of evil is so deep, dark, that we don't understand it. We don't understand that the devil, it knows his time is short. He's working to leave a mess. He wants to destroy the whole house before he leaves. What if 5G, Mark, I'm connecting a dot here. What if the 5G, what if waves in general are what give us the symptoms of the coronavirus? And the media talks about it constantly. You need to go get tested. You need to go. What if all of us already have those symptoms because of the radiation? And we go and take the test and I'll be darned, you've got coronavirus. Let us give you this vaccination. Something's happening here. We'll see you tomorrow.